Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Podcast One presents the Steve Austin Show Classics.
All right. It's 11 a.m. here at 316 Gimmick Street. Ariane Andrew just rolled into the crib. For you WWE fans, you probably remember her as Cameron. Welcome to the crib. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
Been awesome. It's great to see you again because I get a chance to see you on the road every now and then when I show up at a WWE function. And I was trying to get into contact with you, and you were out on the East Coast.
Yes.
What were you doing out there? Just chilling and visiting friends or whatever?
What do you mean back in the East Coast? When I was living there for
No, when you were just this past weekend.
Oh, you know, just hanging out, just getting away for a little bit, you know, just kind of like a decompress.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't taken a vacation in forever. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to just get away for the weekend.
Yeah, because I didn't know you're a Cali girl.
Yes.
You're born and raised here.
Yes, a Valley girl, actually.
Well, it's funny because you went to Cal State Northridge.
Mm-hmm.
And so did my wife.
Oh, my gosh.
And you have 2 college degrees, and as does she. But she went to Verduga Hills High School.
Oh, okay, so she's from California as well, then.
Right. Born and raised. And I guess that would make her a Valley girl, too.
Exactly. I guess so, yeah.
Hey, so let's go back to some of your younger days before we jump into the current day scene and what you're doing, what's just transpired with WWE and all that. I was just reading up on you. I didn't know you were active in track and field back in the day.
I was. I did that in high school for 4 years.
What were your events?
So I did the 4x4, the 4x1, the 400, and the 200.
What kind of speed did you have?
It was pretty good, but I will admit I was a sore loser because if I never got first place, then it was like I would throw, or like the team, we wouldn't get first. I would like throw the baton and like have like a fit. And it would, you know, I mean, I would definitely say I was kind of like a poor sport.
Did y'all win a lot?
I would say fairly a good amount, you know. I mean, we weren't the best, but yeah. I mean, we gave it our all. So,
when you decided to go to college, you ended up getting a Bachelor of Arts in Business Marketing and a Bachelor of Science in Psychology, correct?
Yes.
What's up? Are you like a rocket scientist?
No, not at all. Actually, before WWE, I was working with autistic children,
right.
And I was about to get my master's because I wanted to become a doctor, and then WWE happened. So, yeah.
So what kind of decision was that? Hey, I got a chance to be a doctor, but then all of a sudden this tough enough thing comes along. Because back in the day, as you were going through college, was college easy for you, or did you really have to work at it? Because, I mean, you really, I've always seemed very smart to me.
I actually really had to work at it, and it was hard, too, because I was taking, like, crazy amount of units and working at the same time. So it was a lot. It was like I kind of, like, I think I put too much on my plate, and I wish I actually would have just took less units so I could be able to really, really focus, because I feel like there's a lot of stuff that I've forgotten, because if you don't use it, you lose it.
Well, you were working with autistic kids there for a little bit. My wife ended up being a special education teacher.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
That being said, if you were going to be a doctor, what kind of doctor were you planning on being?
With I actually wanted to work with special needs children. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and do, like, therapy.
And so then all of a sudden, I met you in 2011 at Tough Enough,
mm-hmm.
way back in the day. And right before we turned this recorder on, we were like, wow, time flies by, and you're only 28. You're still a youngster. But so for someone who's actively involved in track, and then you go through college, you get 2 degrees,
mm-hmm.
you're working your tail off to pay all your bills, and you've got all these units that you got to study for, pass all your exams. Okay, before I get there, what kind of GPA did you graduate with?
Ooh, I would actually have to look that up because I don't remember.
But anyway, you got two degrees out of it.
Yes.
So my point is, how in the hell did you hear about Tough Enough in 2011, go through the casting process, and decide to undertake this endeavor?
You know, it It's actually like a backstory behind that story.
We've got plenty of time for stories, and that's what people like to listen to on this podcast. Give me some stories.
So I actually originally was a part of a diva search. That's how it originally happened, out here in California, actually. And I had submitted myself through LA casting, and I had went in, and I was really honest. I was like, you know, I really wasn't an avid wrestling fan. And I'm like, you know what? There's no point to lie. And from there, they were like, you know what? We want you to do Tough Enough. So that's kind of how that happened. And I was excited. I was ready to take it on. I knew that I didn't have the experience, but for me, I'm competitive. And I was like, you know what? Let's do this.
Hey, when you guys rolled up in 2011 on Tough Enough, what was your takeaway from that whole experience? Because I got a chance. And, of course, there's that famous GIF that's still circulating in cyberspace.
I just got one yesterday. Yeah. Literally, they were like, when Stone Cold wanted to give her a center after that, and it's like you with your hands up and you're like throwing your... I literally just got one yesterday.
It happens at least. And it was so random because nobody knew that we were talking. Well, I'd mentioned on a podcast, too, that we were going to be talking. But, I mean, they just happened so random. But it's just that this me being so perplexed with your answer. And I'm at my wit's end, and I say, who? And I've always given both those gals respect. It was just, I just thought she'd give me a classic like Ricky Steamboat, Randy Savage. So you caught me off guard. When I go back and look at that, Ariane, I had such a good time as myself, Bill DeMatre, Stratus, Booger T, and we just really gelled together. But as I was going back and looking at some of the old episodes, we're pretty hard on you guys. So what was your experience from Tough Enough? You were the first eliminated, but I told you then that I thought you had a future in the WWE. I was right.
Yes, you did say that.
But sum up your experience, because I thought on that elimination, I was thinking, man, what were you thinking? Because you were under pressure. There was a lot of duress. And like, were you thinking, man, this dude is a real jerk?
No, not at all. Like, I feel like it's tough love. I mean, you have to be able to take the pressure. And at that time, like I said before, I wasn't, an avid wrestling fan. And that was just like the first thing that I remember, and being like women and stuff like that. And I was like, that's what I said. And I was just like, you know, it's one of those type of things that has lived with me forever, but I don't regret what I said, because I feel like if I wouldn't have, I wouldn't have taken the dedication to learn the history. And then now I see why people were so upset. At the time I was like, I don't understand. Or if it would have probably been someone else, people would have been like, oh yes. Yeah. But you know, it's because it was me. And you know, I still get so much heat from it and so much criticism, but I'm happy it happened, because it's like, if you don't make mistakes, you don't learn and you don't grow. And it's like, it really like had me sit down, study the history, and kind of be like, okay, you know what? I can see kind of, you know, where they're coming from.
When we first rolled in to camp there, and we started going through some of the drills, and if you'll remember, Miss USA, Rima. And man, I always talk about it. Some people are just allergic to the mat. And she was wonderful to me. Don't know anything about her. Or your gettings along with her or anything like that. But she was really, not really coordinated, but she was allergic to the mat. She didn't like the bumping process. When all of a sudden we get in there and a book, and Bill and Trish are teaching you guys some of the bumps, what were you thinking? Because you were a newbie to this as well.
Yes.
What did you think about that, Matt? What did you think about the training?
I felt so uncoordinated myself. I was like, I couldn't even do a roll. It was like, I actually looked back at a piece from that, and I was like, ooh, that was so cringeworthy. I'm like, I look back and I'm like, ooh, it's like... What was I doing? I looked like this.
But it was a crash course. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, you go into something that you may have seen a little bit of, but that you haven't done it. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's kind of fish out of water.
Yeah. And people think of it. They're like, oh, it's so easy. And I'm like, you know what? I would like you to go take a bump and then tell me how you feel. You know what I mean? It's like your body obviously gets used to it. But even in training down at FCW, I remember Norman, he got so mad at me because I was trying to learn how to bump in a day, and he's like, you're not gonna learn how to do it. He goes, just take this for today and then we'll keep. And it's like, for me, I'm like, I was so determined. I was like, no, I want to be able to have a match this first day of training.
So what happened when you got eliminated from Tough Enough and then you rode off into the sunset? Did you go directly down there to what was it called, FXT at the time?
FCW.
FCW.
Yeah. So it was a little bit of time. Then I had actually moved my stuff there, and I was there for maybe like 3 months before actually starting, just because, you know, the show was still going on. So there was no way to, I mean, just, you know, so... Yeah. Then I started and I had so much heat. Oh my gosh. Like it was like people were like, oh, she's not going to last a week. There's no way. Like how do you think that you should be here and you deserve this? You know, it was crazy.
I always tell people it's like, you know, as you can see, I'm still in my sling. I had my shoulder surgery exactly 1 month ago today. And it's like, man, at the end of a run, you can think whatever you want about the business, but it will chew you up and spit you out.
Yeah.
I mean, although you're enjoying it, just on the backside, and this was just an injury that was just from the stuff I'd banged up and kind of done on my own. But you ended up in the business after you left Tough Enough for, what, 5-6 years in the WWE?
I was there 5 years. 4 years on the main roster. Yeah, because fourth year anniversary was in January, so a total of 5 years.
Okay, so at only 28 years of age, I mean, you're still very, very young. But how do you feel on the backside of what you've been through? Body feel good? I mean, you look like $1 million.
Oh, thank you. You know, I always used to say, like, I feel like my body was, because I feel like I'm a little bit smaller than some of the girls, and I've always kind of felt that, like, little things would just, like, hurt. Like, you know, even now I'm like, I see myself, like, you know, cracking my back, or like I feel like I have really weak knees, and I don't know if that's true from running track and in cross country. But I mean, I'm so blessed to have only walked away with getting stitches one time, so it's like, you know, I can't really say that, oh, you know, I mean, you, like, I know you've, like, your neck, you know what I mean? So it's like, I will say I'm definitely blessed.
Do you feel like your 5 years in the business and through your experience in Tough Enough has made you a tougher person physically and mentally?
Oh, yeah, of course. I feel like I've grown so much. I feel like I'm more humble now than I was before I got into the business.
Were you not humble before you got into the business?
I mean, not to say that I wasn't humble, but I think that I will say that I felt myself a little bit, and I thought, like, oh, you know, I'm just... And I feel like, you know, now that I feel like I've actually accomplished some things, which is the opposite for most people. You know, they start off humble and then forget where they come from, and then it's like you don't even know who they are anymore. It's like they, you know, they're... heads up their ass.
I've seen 1 million people get on TV a couple times, and all of a sudden they think they're a big ass superstar and they get the big head, and I'm like, man, really?
It doesn't last forever.
And every now and then I'll if it's a young cat and I got a little hope for him, I'll pull him aside and say, hey dude, you need to check that, because this ain't what it's about. You got a long ways to go before you, and first of all, you just never act like that to begin with. But right now I said, you better just keep your nose to the grindstone and sell your ass down.
Yeah.
How did you like living on the road? Because I told everybody at Tough Enough, I said, it's going to be one thing to win this contest. It's going to be one thing just to go through the training. And although you were the first eliminated, I knew you would have a future in the business. I told people the tough part was living on the road. The tough part was the business, learning the business, and existing and traveling around with a bunch of people, some of the greatest misfits in the world, some of the nicest people in the world. How did you like living your life on the road, coming from, you know, your college background, 2 degrees, Cali girl, just chilling, and now you're worldwide? Easy, hard.
It's definitely difficult because, you know, you're gone. I mean, you know this. Yeah. You're gone 24/7. You miss birthdays, you miss graduations, you miss holidays, and it's exciting in the beginning, but then after a while you're like, "Woo, we don't get, we're almost, what, 300 days out the year, you're going, you're just like, it's a lot." And people think like, oh, you know, it's, you know, it's a lot that you have to go with the drives and stuff that people don't know, you know, the behind the scene things that, you know, they think like, oh, it's glamorous, you get to ride on a bus and you have your feet kicked up, and it's like,
no,
not so much. Yeah. So,
hey, what did you do? Because back in the day, you know, me being a guy, it would be this thing where I would just throw in my suitcase or 2 suitcases, whatever it was, down by the wash and dryer, and I just basically wash everything and then just recycle it back in, because I'm in a different town every day. No one knows what I had on the week before, and like I'm on the West Coast, now I'm on the East Coast. I'm wearing the same stuff.
Yeah.
So I lived out of my suitcase. But you are really into fashion. So would you just take all these extravagant wardrobes out on the road with you? How tough was it for you to maintain how you present yourself?
You know, I think it just ends up becoming like a lifestyle. Like, you know, if you, you know, I will say one thing though, I feel like I'm in better shape now than when I was on the road, just because you know, I'm just not a morning person at all. So sometimes I have like that dedication to get up and like go to the gym. I'm like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Like, but I don't think it was that bad because I'm not a type of person who spends all this money on like expensive stuff. So.
Yeah, but what about the clothes? Because I wore the same stuff. Would you take different outfits?
Oh, yeah.
Every week?
I would.
So you would do that?
I would do that. Okay. Yeah. I would for sure. Because, you know, like in the day, like for girls, like image is everything. So it's like, you know, I never want to walk by Vince and then have like some clothes and he's kind of like, oh, like,
right.
So, yeah.
But for you, just as part of you liking fashion,
I like to dress up and stuff like that, but I don't spend a lot of money on my clothes. Like I like nice things, but I don't go crazy because, you know, you have to always look out for the rainy days. You just never know when it's going to happen, you know, when you're going to need money. So for me, I like to save. And I feel like you can still have look great, but do it inexpensively.
I was on your Twitter account earlier and it said WWE Cameron is mm-hmm. your Twitter handle. And it says former WWE. You just got released along with a couple other people. I talked to Hornswoggle just last week or two. How did you take this news? How did this come about? Did you see it happening?
Yes and no. You know, it's horrible because I read the blog sites and stuff like that. And supposedly they said one of the reasons the reason I wasn't originally going to get released, but I got released because of some controversy that I caused on Twitter that week. I don't know if you're pretty much I had, you know, Ryback had made a statement and I had said, amen, brother. And it wasn't so much talking about the pay, it was just more so when he was like, if you don't believe in yourself, no one else will. And God, I feel like it's a long story. Do we have time to go into it?
We've got as much time as you want.
Okay. So let's just, you know, rewind. So, you know, last May, I'm a person who, for me, I don't want to just collect a paycheck. I want to be a part of what I'm doing. For me to kick my feet up and just kind of be on the sidelines, that doesn't work for me because I feel like I know what my value is. I know what my pros are and I know what my cons are and I know what I can bring to the table. Am I the most athletic person in the world? Am I the best, you know, wrestler? No, but I know that I have, you know, charisma and I know what I'm great. I know what I can do on the mic. And I don't think I'm horrible, but I think I, you know, like I'm not the best and I can be honest with myself. So I had decided to, you know, step away. And I was like, you know what? I'd rather not come here, waste you guys' money and why I can, you know, go train and do all these things until you guys have something for me. So it was a decision that I decided to make knowing that there was a possibility that, you know, the day could come for me to get released. But kind of like what Ryback said, if you don't believe in yourself, who else will? You know what I mean? So, you know, I went back down to, you know, NXT and that was an interesting situation. I felt like I was doing things, I was improving my craft, but I felt like I was still kind of getting the short end of the stick. And I feel like I can walk away saying that I know I did everything. I was pitching stories from gossip to being a valet. And I was getting frustrated too as well, because I'm just like, you know, I know that there's something here for me, but I'll be patient and I wait. And I didn't want to just come back and just do whatever. I would be like, you know what, I'd rather wait, you know. And so, God, I actually get like, it's kind of like emotional now kind of talking about it, because it's like no one knows, like sorry.
All right. Beach Kleenex.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. I didn't mean to go.
No, it's just no one knows, like people just, you know, you hear things and like, oh, she just wants to be here because she's famous. She wants to be famous and stuff. And just because I didn't grow up, you know, as a avid wrestling fan, like when I got into this business, if you don't love it, there's no way you can do it. And I did grow to have a passion for it. So like no one had seen for that year, like all the stuff that I was doing to get back in the game and just how like, you know, nothing was working out. I'm like, to step back, I feel like that takes a woman to be like, you know what, I'm willing to give up my spot to go back down to NXT and to try to crawl my way back up.
Right.
And, so it, you know, I feel like I was torn, but at the same time when it did happen, I kind of felt like that release as well, like of, I felt like the mental drainage of what are we doing? Am I going to get fired? What is going on? I kind of felt like it was such a bittersweet thing because it was like, that's not how I want it to end. That's not, I wanted to come back to show what I had worked on and the improvements that I had, you know, how like, you know, the growth I had, you know, I can't even talk right now, my growth and see my potential where I could possibly be, because I did consider myself a valuable asset to the company. So it was definitely bittersweet. And as far as like the controversy I caused, I kind of like stood up to like the IWC and I was like, you know, you can have an opinion. You don't have to like someone, but to like wish death on someone's family or say racial remarks and stuff like that, I just feel like that's not okay.
You were getting that stuff.
Oh yeah. Oh, and geez. You know, and I mean, I feel like, you know, wrestling fans are very loyal, you know, period. They're very, very loyal. And that's one thing I do respect about them. So it caused a lot of controversy.
But sometimes they're so opinionated. They voice their beliefs or their ideas in very negative or very inappropriate ways.
Yeah.
And if you don't like something, you can say it in a much nicer way.
Of course.
But like your campaign, that your anti-bullying campaign that you have on your website, Ariane Andrew Now. I just don't believe in that. I don't believe someone hide behind an eggshell on a Twitter account or this, that, or whatever, and throwing negative things out at people. In your position down there, you go from the main roster, you go back down to Florida. Who are you dealing with? Because in my career, I was fortunate enough at a time to come along, you know, 20 years ago, whatever. And when I first came into the company, you know, I knew that Vince McMahon was my boss, but I didn't have a relationship with him until one day they were going to start giving me a push because of an incident that happened at Madison Square Garden concerning Triple H, who was going to be the next guy to get the big push. So when I started getting pushed, my point is I started to form a relationship with Vince. And so from then on, he was my go-to guy, you know, but we would speak directly with each other and I got to know the man very well. So you and your shoes, and I know Triple H is almost ahead of all talent now, but was he the guy? Was he the person that you would deal with on a day-to-day basis regarding what you were trying to do? Or did you have someone else, being a female?
I spoke a lot with Mark Carano, and there was a few times I talked to Hunter. And to rewind really fast, to go back to what I did with the Twitter, the whole point of me doing that was to create heat, because I was like, maybe this can start a new type of character.
A heel character,
you know, to kind of rebrand myself from the whole girl bye. And that was my thoughts. Like, you know what? Just like you, you know, when you started, you were the ringmaster. And then it was like, you know, you were like, you know what? I'm going to do me and I'm going to become Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, sometimes you have to almost kind of like, if you're not getting something, you almost have to go and take it.
I agree.
And that's kind of what I was doing, but it all kind of backfired on me.
But you had a very articulate, eloquent article. Did you write and post that on your Facebook page about when you left, and you basically told that story?
Oh yeah, that pretty much what I'm saying.
How can people see that? Because I read it. I can't quote it word for word right now, but it was a very well written article about what you're trying to do. How can people see that?
It's on my Instagram, and I have the link where it says my thank you statement.
Yeah. And what are you on Instagram?
It's at Ariane Andrew.
Yeah, so anybody that just heard what we were talking about, it's a really well-written article saying about what you're trying to do.
Exactly, like my journey, what people didn't know, you know, and obviously it's very, very lengthy. So if people don't read the whole thing, they don't know kind of like how I got from point A to point B, from deciding to step away and going back to NXT, and then what I was trying to do. Like, so, I mean, I would definitely say it's worth the read for people to read it, because it's very detailed.
Gave me a perspective of where you're coming from.
Yeah.
All right, so check it out. Ariane Andrews sitting right across from me, and we're talking about life at WWE.
You're listening to another classic episode of The Steve Austin Show, only on Podcast One.
You own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. You came over here to the 316 Gimmick Street at 11 a.m., showed up promptly at a badass red Mercedes. Got to give you a shout out. You have great taste in cars.
Thank you.
But you came here early because you've got an acting class.
Yes.
I guess that's going to kick off round three.
Yes.
So tell me about these acting endeavors, because I'm very curious to see what you do now that you've left the business. Stop that. Before I ask you that question, how come you never modeled?
If I had to do it by the book, I always say, like, I went to school and that I've always loved entertainment, always. Right. So, you know, I've always loved it. I knew no matter what.
But no one has ever reached out to you for a modeling gig or say, hey, I mean, you'd be a great spokesman for this or some kind of makeup or whatever, mascara thing. I mean, you're a beautiful young lady.
Thank you.
I just see you having the model type looks. I just don't know why that never happened. Is it something you never pursued?
Well, before WWE, I consider myself a Jill of all trades. So I was kind of like putting my hands in so many different things, because I feel like, you know what, you only live once, so why not do so many different things that you love to do? So it's like I kind of dabbled into it, but then, yeah, WWE happened. You know how that just kind of takes all your time. It's, you know, you're like, you have to eat it, you have to breathe it, you have to sleep it. So it's kind of hard to like do other things.
So now tell me about the, you pursuing the acting career, because back in high school, you're part of the drama club.
I was,
and
yes.
So since you're a freshman, that was something that you always aspired to do?
I've always just loved entertainment, and I actually started taking, when I did have the time off, I was doing so many different things to help, you know, for what I was hoping to come back to help enhance me. So I was taking the classes to just help with like promos, and in the classes, like an improv class, to be able to like be quick with my words and all that type of stuff. So it was something that I've always wanted to do, but I never had the time.
Right,
so when I had, so when I had the time off, that was one of the type of, that was one of the things. I am like stumbling over my words today. What is going on? That was one of the things I decided to do.
Tell me about this acting class. I mean, because we were texting back and forth trying to get the time set up, and you said, hey, man, sometimes this class lasts 5 hours.
Yes.
I dabbled in a few acting classes back when I first came to L.A., and I didn't stick with them, obviously, and it just wasn't my cup of tea. But what are they teaching you? Method? Stanislavski? What's the class?
So it's pretty much the first hour is improv, and then it's like you can freeze it, and you tell a movie in that hour with how two people go up there and start it. And then after that, she gives her feedback, and then we do a scene study. So I have a scene partner, and then she gives us plays. So, you know, we rehearse it, and then we end up doing, it's like sometimes like a 15-minute play where we just go up there and act like we're on stage and perform for the class and the teacher.
How have you been with the improv stuff? Because it fascinates me, because in improv, and although I've never taken any kind of classes, I mean, basically, you know, when you're having a conversation or a skit with someone, it's always yes and. You never shut someone down. You're spinning off what they got and back and forth.
Exactly.
How have you been with the improv stuff?
I'm not going to lie. I thought I was like, oh, I'm going to go in here and kill this. Oh, my gosh. I get up there the first day and I'm like, I felt like I was the ish. But it's definitely getting better. And it's, I'm enjoying it. Like, you know, it's kind of like the scary thing. I'm like, oh my God, we have to start with improv. I love the scene study. Like, I feel like I kill that. So that's definitely something that I have to improve.
The improv thing is, man, all of a sudden you think, hey man, I'm pretty good at this. And all of a sudden you have these savants in there. It's like playing tennis. If someone just throws a tennis ball, they just smack it back. It's like, wow, what happened?
Yes.
How can they be that quick? Mm-hmm. Scene study. Let's talk about that for a second, because I've done my share of low budget movies. I don't care to act anymore. So I don't. But back when I did my first few movies, for me, it was all about, hey man, all you got to do is just, okay, I'm Jack Conrad in The Condemned, which I never really wrote a bio for that character. And so all I thought was, know your lines, just know your lines. And I thought I had to say the lines exactly where they're written. But in scene study, you know, and because a lot of people don't realize, or many people do, that almost The Revenant, I just watched The Revenant, was shot in sequence. That happens very rarely. So sometimes, you know, because of location and stuff, you might shoot the end of the movie before you get to the beginning.
Exactly.
Or sometimes you might start in the middle of the movie. So scene study is where you are at that particular time, what has happened already that you haven't done, what's going to happen, how does this all tie together? So I never took part in a scene study class, but it sounds fascinating. So how do you break down a scene?
You know what? Well, the first thing she always starts with is like, you have to read the entire play. And I hate reading.
See, I can't read because I got ADD. Hate reading?
I do. And that's what I feel like I do have ADD, because I feel like I'll start reading and I'm like, oh, well, let me go get some fruit. And then somehow.
Or do you do this? You're reading, but all of a sudden you're daydreaming. So it's like, you might have flipped five pages. Like, I don't know what I just read.
Exactly. Oh, that is so true. That is so true. It's like, oh, I got to go back and read those five pages because I don't even remember what I just read.
So, but break down a scene for me.
I mean, I feel like it's pretty simple. So, I mean, she gives us like a script from the play. We have to read the whole play, which I'm going to just say it now. I haven't, for the scenes I've done, I haven't read the plays. And I don't lie. I'm like, I just haven't done it. One time I did lie, though. I'm not going to lie.
One time I did lie. I'm not going to lie.
And then pretty much it's like we do the cold read first and, you know, to get a feel. And it's like, she's like, it's not acting. It's just, you literally are going to do this as a cold read, which is very interesting.
No performance, just reading.
No performance. But you end up still having kind of a performance because you're not just reading it like,
right.
You know,
monotone.
Exactly. And then from there, she'll give you the critiques and tell you this is, you know, lay it on you, the pros and the cons. And then you meet with the scene partner and then we go over, we do like a breakdown. So like, we're going to do this page, she gives us the feedback, we add a little bit more, and then just keep adding to it, and then getting her critiques and fixing or keeping what she likes and what she doesn't like.
So how long is this going to last? I mean, is this something that's just ongoing? Here's the thing. A couple of years ago, I filmed a little episode of a series on TV called Chuck, and all of the actors on that show are very talented. And one young lady and I were talking. I think she was 33 at the time, and she's already in the actor's studio, like, you know, for awesome actors. And it was between takes. You know, I'm an ex-pro wrestler, right? And so she goes, well, who are you studying with? And I'm like, well, what do you mean? She goes, you're not actively engaged in taking classes? And I'm like, no. I said, are you? And she goes, of course I am. And I'm thinking, see, this girl, this particular girl, had been, she was a child actor from 3 years old.
Oh, God.
So she's been doing this 30 years. And now, once a week or three times a week, whatever it is, she still studies with her group because she goes, it's a muscle. She goes, you go to the gym every day, right? And I said, yeah. And it was a great point for me to learn. She was, that's why I still do this. I mean, she was at the upper echelons of acting, and she's on all kinds of stuff. I can't remember her name. But there's so much that goes into it. And I was like, it's a little bit more work than I really wanted to do. Had I been 24 back in the day or 22 and had my design set on, hey, I want to be an actor, yeah, I would eat, slept, and breathe it just like I did my pro wrestling career.
Exactly.
Ate, slept, and breathe it, Neil. But after you get hit in the head with steel chairs for 15 years and travel all over the road, all over the world, it's kind of like a little bit different perspective.
Totally.
So if I knew it as a hobby or a pastime, it's cool. But for me, try to go and be Daniel Day-Lewis or Leo DiCaprio, ain't happening. So what are you looking, back to you, what are you looking to do with your acting career? And have you gone out and done auditions yet?
So I feel like I've been torn because I almost feel like I'm still not done wrestling because I feel like I still have a point to prove because that's just...
Oh, yeah, you still got the wrestling bug?
It's just because I feel like I didn't have the opportunity to show, like, the stuff that I learned. And I feel like there's still people and, you know, the fans that do rock with me that still want to see, like, what, you know, my potential and what I was working for. And it's kind of like... I'm so torn, but at the same time, I feel like it's something too that I don't know if I just want to put in the past as well, because it's something that I, you know, it's still so fresh, and it's like to have to think about all the memories and the things in the past year and everything that I went through. You know, it's just kind of like one of those type of things. It's like when something happens, it's like, do you just put it in the past or do you embrace it?
Okay, let's go back to the wrestling thing then. You got the call that day, you got the FedEx, you got the email. How did you get the word that you were released? I don't use the F word, fired, because
I was
released, right?
I was fired. I'm just kidding.
Okay, they dropped the bomb on you. What'd you do? Did you think, oh, those are, you know, well, this is a tough pill to swallow. What was your immediate reaction? Stunned?
So I was reading the blogs and they were like, they're doing releases tomorrow. So I went out that night and then I woke up early and I kept looking at my phone. I kept looking at my phone because I'm like, I wonder if I'm going to be a part of those releases. They have.
How did IWC or the blogs know that the WWE was going to do releases the next day to begin with?
I have no idea.
Okay, please continue.
So maybe there's a little insider. I don't know. I mean, they're
dead. There's always an insider. It's a mole close to the source.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Either they're dead on it or it's like completely.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, are you effing kidding me? Yeah. This is not even true.
So what happened?
So I see a text from Mark Carano. And he's like, can you please call me? I knew it right then and there. I knew it. I pick up the phone. I call him. And he's like, you know what? Hey, we're going to release you from your contract. And he's like, you know what? He's like, but I'm actually kind of happy. And I'm like, wait, happy? I was like.
You ain't the one paying my bills.
No, he said he was happy. He's like, because I've known the road that we've been on for this past year. And he goes, and I never, you know, I just not having answers for you. And he's like, I almost, you know, I'm happy in that sense. And I'm like, you know, I get what you're saying, but it's still a bitter because of everything I have gone through this year. It was like such a mental and physical roller coaster of a ride that I was hoping that all this that I had did this past year was going to. You know, I was going to have a fairy tale ending,
yeah,
you know,
give you a second shot to climb back up the ladder.
Exactly. So I was like, you know what? I wasn't bitter at all. I was like, I thank you so much. I'm so blessed. I've had this opportunity. And, you know, obviously the day has come and the day that, you know, I didn't want it to end like this, but I thank you guys so much for having me these past years. So, I mean, I was still very like, you know, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say like, oh, F no, because I feel like it was definitely a journey and it's a chapter I can put in my book and now move on to the next chapter in my life.
So you handled a departure with class, but how did that rock the rest of your day? Were you like, almost like, I mean, to me, that would be, I hate to use the word surreal because it's overused, but I mean, to me, it would take over your day. Like what else do you think of?
See, I feel like this would have happened to me a year ago. I would have lost my mind, especially because my personality is so strong, but I felt like I had over that course of the year. And plus, I don't know, I feel like so many things have happened this 2016. So I'm going to be the first to say it here on your podcast. I was with my boyfriend, Vinny. We had broke up and he moved out. So that was one thing that had happened. I made a huge investment that I found out that was a scam. Have some family stuff going on. And then with work, it was just like one thing after another was just kind of like hitting the fan. I was just like, whoo. So like, I almost felt like when I got the news, it's like, I was almost kind of numb, but I had to go meet with my videographer cause he was putting my reel together. And literally it's like, I knew I still had to go on with my day, but you know, I took a little time. There was a few moments with texts I got that I had a few little breakdowns, but I was like, you know what? I can't let this put me in I have to keep pushing forward. So I gave myself that Saturday to just kind of be lazy and do nothing. But then Monday came and I was, you know, hitting the ground running.
Hey, you know, when I rode off into the sunset after my match with the great one, The Rock at WrestleMania 19, And I had to, you know, get out of the business. And it's for my health reasons. My neck was in a bad way. And so it was time for me to ride off the sunset. That was a tough pill to swallow. And it really took me, I always tell people, it took about 3 years to get over that. And so I just sat around in San Antonio and did a lot of hunting, fishing, and drinking. I tell people that after my story. Anyway, I come to grips with it. But so then I said, hey, man, I got to go do something else. And the point I'm trying to make is to ask you, because, you know, wrestling, because now there's so many more women in the business, because it's not divas anymore, but there's more women wrestlers than there's ever been.
Yeah.
But it's still a male-dominated business. So and back in the day, you know, when I first got in, there was only a few women, you know, that were in the ring, and they had some valets and stuff like that. But all the boys, the point I'm trying to make is when they get out of the business, they're still stuck in the business. So a lot of guys, because it's still in their blood, will just go down to independent level, and they'll pursue that for as long as they can. Or they'll get on the appearance loop because they can, you know, get a payday doing that. But very few return to a regular way of living. If I was to go back to the old job I had before, you know, I got into the business, I was driving a forklift. But after you travel around the world for 15 years, you don't want to get back on that forklift. With all due respect, I was manual labor, you know, extraordinaire before I got in the business. So, but now you, at 28 years of age, you still, what you're telling me, you still have wrestling in your blood.
I do, but, you know, and it's funny because I've always gotten knocked for this because I've always put my fingers in music, and everyone's always kind of like, oh, you don't love it. It's like, why can't you have more than one passion? So for me, I mean, it's like I said, I'm still debating if that's something that I want to do. But as far as other things, like, things are already moving in like a different direction. And I don't want to just get stuck in one category, because, you know, sometimes, I mean, no disrespect, you just get stuck as being a wrestler, and that's it. And that's just how people view you. I feel like, you know, there's more layers of, you know, to me than that. I consider myself putting my hands, I mean, I've always been a businesswoman, so I consider myself an entrepreneur. I was signed with a commercial agent that I actually just fired. So I'm about to sign with another agency, and I'm just going to kind of just see where things go. I'm just going to kind of have my hands in so many different things.
Have you ever considered, my wife went to the same college as you, she has 2 degrees as well, and she was a special education teacher. Have you ever thought, with your background and your passion for helping
special needs children?
Special needs children. Have you ever considered going back to college and getting that doctorate?
Because
you're still only 28.
Yeah, I've thought about it, but it's something that I wouldn't do right this second, because that would take so much time and dedication.
Well, absolutely. And if you make that commitment, you're all in, and there's nothing on the periphery for that.
Exactly. Okay. So, that's why, like, for instance, I did the anti-bullying campaign, and I used music through that to expressing, like, without being like, hey, don't do this, but in a fun way to say, you know what, love the skin you're in, you know what I mean, and be happy for, you know, the person that you are. So, I mean, there's always different ways to, like, you know, still be able to be in that circle without having to go back and get my degrees. I mean, but hey, like you said, I'm 28 years old. There's who's to say if I, you know, decide to go back one day.
Okay, going back from your drama class, beginnings in high school, now to taking acting lessons, and from what you learned in Tough Enough, and then going down to Florida, learning the business, getting on the road, how do you feel your chops or your instincts are for acting versus what they were for wrestling?
What do you mean?
I mean, do you feel like you're more inclined for acting? I mean, do you feel natural at it? Whereas you didn't feel natural about wrestling, you know, when you first got in, it was so foreign to you.
Yeah, it was like, oh my God. I feel like I've always had like a raw talent. And you know what's actually funny? The first audition I did go to back, like I want to say maybe a month ago, they didn't choose me for the part, but they were like, we like you and we think you're a raw talent and we want to write you in. It's like for a web series.
Right.
And so I do feel like it's something that is like really natural. I mean, of course, anything practice makes perfect, and you can become really good at something, but it is definitely, I feel like, a natural thing that is just like, I can just kill it.
When you go to an audition, the few I went to, I sucked. I freely admit it. It's the process. And, you know, I never got a part I auditioned for. The movies I did were offered to me. Those were low budget movies. I did The Condemned through WWE. That was just because of my name. And, you know, it was based off the Stone Cold character, basically. When you go, and so at the end, I think the last, I can't remember the last audition I went to, but I went in with the attitude like, hey, you know what? I don't care if I get this part or not, so I'm just going there and wing it, and then I won't be nervous. Well, I tried to go in there with that attitude, but then all of a sudden I got the guy reading, running the camera, the casting lady, and the dude I was reading my lines with, and all of a sudden, you know, they send you like two sides, so yeah. You don't know who this character is, and they make you sign a piece of paper, so you got to kayfabe, you know, the script. You can't send it to nobody.
Exactly.
You can't ask nobody about it, so you go in there and you do this process. I absolutely sucked at it. Are you any good at the audition process? Because and I'll say it, I'm Stone Cold Steve Austin. If I got to go audition for a movie, I'm a little bit nervous. You put me out of my own element in a wrestling ring with a microphone in my hand or in front of a bunch of cats out there, Broken Skull Challenge, you got a red light running, I'm your guy. But in an audition, not so much. How are you on audition?
The first one, that's the one I actually had went to, and it had been for like years since I did an audition, and that's the one I feel like I was like, oh, I totally like hit the bed. And that's the one they were like, we didn't choose you for the part, but we want to write you in. So it's just like, I guess we're our own worst critics about how, you know, but for me, I mean, of course I'm a little nervous, because I feel like if you don't have any nerves, then it's like, something's not right, you know?
Right.
But I definitely would say getting in the ring makes me way more nervous, just because like I'm so scared of like, you know, because people already have like their eye, you know, people always had their eyeballs ready for me to fuck up. Like, see, I told you so. She sucks. So for wrestling, it was so much more like scary,
right?
Like to not mess up.
Who were was directly working with you down there? Was it Norman Smiley and Fit Family and Tom? Well, most everybody I know, I think, is gone down there. I know Norman's still there.
You're talking about at NXT right now? And when I was down there?
Yeah, when you were down there.
It was Sarah Del Rey.
Okay, but what about the first time we went down there?
It was mainly Norman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's a great hand.
Oh, yeah.
So you never got a chance to work with Fit? Because I know Fit's directly involved with a lot of the women's matches.
Yes, up on the road. So when I would ask, you know, before going back down to developmental, I would actually ask to have extra practice before, like, one of the live events. And he was usually the person there who would help out. Yeah. I'm trying to think who else. There was a few times where if Johnny was on the road. It just depends on who the producer was for that live event match.
So once you got out there on TV and I saw a couple of your SmackDown matches, are you in the moment and you're just worried about the task at hand, or were you in your head and you say, hey, am I doing the right thing? Where were you? What was your comfort level once that bell rang and y'all started taking care of business inside the ring in front of a live crowd? Did you feel at home?
In the beginning, it was like, oh my God, I was so in my head because I was like, I don't even know what the F I'm doing because I haven't had any training. So I'm like, and then on top of that, it's like my tag team partner time was Trent, who is so damn athletic. So I'm like, me next to her, I just look like complete dog shit. So originally it was like, oh my gosh. But then as I got more comfortable, it was like, I was just having fun, especially I felt being a heel just comes so much more natural. And I feel like you can just have so much more fun with that. So like towards the end of my career, I felt like I was like, I got this. Like, this is exciting. And it's like when you're not sitting, when, you know, obviously I'm nervous walking down and being like, okay. But then once the bell rings, when you can actually like absorb it, take it in and be able to see the crowd, it's like such an amazing feeling compared to when you're just in your head thinking like, because like you can't enjoy it.
You're listening to another classic episode of The Steve Austin Show, only on Podcast One.
You also got a chance to be what, part two seasons of Divas?
Three seasons.
Total Divas? What's it called?
Three seasons of Total Divas, yes.
Total Divas. That looks, again, looks all glamorous because it's on television.
Uh-huh.
And there's a bunch of nice stuff hanging around in all the backdrops and the settings. And you guys are doing cool things. How was that experience? Because you got a bunch of chicks. I'll just say chicks. Got a bunch of guys. Got a bunch of women.
Mm-hmm.
All beautiful. And it's called Total Divas. That seems like a logistic nightmare from a backstage standpoint. How was filming that? Was it fun?
It actually was a lot of fun, but I'm going to be honest. Like, I feel like for me, people only got to see 2% of who Ariana is. So that's kind of like the unfortunate.
Is that frustrating for you? Because you know that all happens in editing.
Oh yeah.
You know what you did. You know
exactly.
You know what you were there, and then all of a sudden this is what's edited. So then people only get what they see.
All of a sudden you see me rolling my eyes, and I was like, wait, I didn't do that. You know, someone says something.
Well, you may have done it, but it wasn't all you did. And so it can be taken out of context.
Exactly.
You're like, oh, Ariane's a bitch.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, it was definitely a fun experience. You know, I was super excited originally about it because I was like, you know, I get so much hate. And, you know, people just think camera. I'm like, this is going to be a nice time for people to see who Ariane is.
Well, why did they spin it? Did y'all have any kind of creative control in that process or not? Or just like, hey, this is going to pop, or this is going to make, you know, this person be this character?
I mean, yes, but yes and no. And that's, I'm going to be completely honest. That's why, you know, things kind of ended with that as well. They wanted me to do some things that I'm like, I just don't feel comfortable doing that. And at the end of the day, like, I still like to look at myself as a role model. And I, you know, if it's fine, if we have to part ways because this is what you want, at the end of the day, like, I want more in my life than just a reality TV. And I don't want people looking at me in a certain way and just be like, that's how I'm going to be for the rest of my life. So if that means that I can't be a part of the show, I'm totally fine with that.
So. You would think that just based off what people saw on you in Total Divas, they think, oh, that's who she is.
Yes.
Because it's funny, when I came here, you know, many years ago, if I went to a meeting and they thought they're meeting Steve Austin, but they thought they were meeting Stone Cold Steve Austin, the guy who's raised in hell. He's mad. He doesn't have a sense of humor. He's probably drunk. he's the meanest guy here. He might kill us all. And so it took me a while to break down that barrier and for people not to realize, hey, man, that was actually a character I played on TV. So sometimes, you know, it's funny when you do something, whether it's Total Divas or a character within WWE or whatever wrestling organization is, many people are unable to separate what they see on television from being the actual real thing.
Exactly. It's so true. People are like, that's Cameron. You're just a complete bitch. Now, can I be like a little bit, you know, of a little BI sometimes? Yeah, but that's not me 24/7. You know what I mean? Like, you have to really do something to piss me off. I mean, and everyone has like a little bit of a moment where they get mad. I mean, that's
absolutely. I certainly had my moments.
You know, so you know, it's one of those type of things. But I feel like maybe now with me starting my new chapter, people can actually see who Ariane is.
So what do you do for kicks? What do you do for your hobbies, your pastimes? Because you got to do something now to occupy your time. Now that you're not on the road as much as you were. What are you passionate about? Or what do you do in your free time when you're not working, when you're not pursuing your acting career?
You know what? It's funny. I actually feel like I'm a workaholic. I feel like that's really all I do. And it's like I don't give myself time to even really take a break. I mean, I'll go out with you, my friends. We'll go out and have some drinks. But for the most part, it's like this is grinding time because it's like I still only feel like I have a short window to now move on to the next chapter and make things happen for myself. So
a short window because you're in an entertainment industry.
Exactly.
And time is now.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, all of a sudden you can be, I mean, I'm sure you'll still look fantastic at 34, but when you get 34, all of a sudden, I mean, you're kind of like, oh, she's too old now. Chronologically, you're 34, you look like $1 million, but in their mind, it's like, no, got to go to the younger generation. Have you ever felt that?
Yeah, but no matter,
don't you think there's a clock is ticking? It's like, okay, the window is here. You got to make it before the window closes.
Well, I mean, of course, with anything, just like with WWE, there's going to be someone who's going to be hotter than you, smarter than you, pretty. That's life. Like, and I'm okay with that because I know that, you know, my little time of window is here. But like I said, I've always been a businesswoman and I've made investments and stuff that I know, like, if this doesn't work out, I have so many other things that can, you know, happen, and that I'm like set, if that makes sense.
Possible you could go back to WWE if they gave you a call?
I feel like I would, just because I feel like I have something to prove.
If another wrestling organization contacted you, would you consider doing something with them? Because you go over the major leagues and everything else is on a smaller scale. I'm sorry, but that's just the honest truth of it.
Okay, so then you kind of took the words. Because I'm like, how do I say this without getting criticized? I'm like, you know, WWE is the be all of all. It's the bad daddy, you know, the big daddy. Yeah. And so I'm always, for me, it's always about progression and growing and, you know, about kind of, I don't want this to come off bad. Regressing, I guess you can say. And so no disrespect to any of the other independents or any of the other, you know, teen and all those. It's just, you know what I mean? So it's like, for me, that's also too why I'm torn about wrestling. Every now then again, though, I think I may, you know, just do it for fun or something. I don't know. But and that's why I feel like I'm torn as well, just because I feel like I look at myself and I value myself at a certain level and I want people to. I want to keep it that way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. Where are you at here in L.A.? Because I know you out there in the valley.
Yes.
You in Hollywood now?
I'm in North Hollywood.
How you like it out there?
My mom calls it the fake valley because I'm originally from Granada Hills, and North Hollywood is still considered the valley because I like the valley. But she's like, no, it's not, because it's the fake valley because it's like right close to L.A. I love it. It's a NoHo Arts district. So it's like you get a lot of people who are like dancers, hipsters. It's a cool little.
Do you get out in the scene? Because every now and then, the few things that I will do, you know, like they'll have, we're going to have the rap party in North Hollywood or just somewhere over in that area. And I dig Hollywood. If I'm driving through there in the daytime and I can get in and out before traffic hits me, because I talk about it on my podcast all the time, how I hate traffic. But I'm not a night guy. I'm a homebody. So do you get out in it? And are you one of the party people? You do all the functions and get out there and socialize?
I actually was just at a function yesterday. Cynthia Bailey from The Real Housewives of Atlanta had a launch of her purse. And so I went to I used to have a PR too, which we parted ways. I won't get into that. That was an interesting situation. But it depends on what it's for. You know what I mean? Like if it's a friend's birthday, I almost kind of feel like I'm doing things backwards because I jumped into school so quickly. Then my career happened that I really didn't do the partying. I feel like now I'm doing it backwards and I've been like going out and actually partying and living. And it's been great because I feel like I didn't get that. So it's like I'm doing everything a little bit backwards.
Hey, how's your bullshit detector? Because out here in Hollywood and going into the acting thing, with everything you've learned in WWE, being around a business, I feel like the wrestling business is just a parallel of the movie business.
Totally.
Entertainment in general, but the movie business. But the movie business is a much greater level. But, man, I remember when I first came out and you'd take a meeting and people say, oh, man, I can't believe it. We hadn't done nothing with you. And here's a couple of scripts and we got to do something together. So you're driving home with three scripts in your car and thinking, man, I just got some movies. This is easy. No, not so fast. Now, my point is I can smell bullshit a mile away. I know something's real and ain't real. Are you on the same page?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, and the thing that I almost hate about L.A., it's like everyone is a singer, rapper, producer, director. Like, it's so refreshing to actually meet people who say that they're, even though I know that kind of sounds cliche because it's like now that I'm going into acting, but I consider myself more of an entrepreneur than I would never say actress.
Right.
I would say entrepreneur. You get so many people who are like, I have this, or, you know, or people who like to throw out, well, I'm a director, and I'm like, okay, great. Who cares? Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's like, or everyone thinks that they're somebody out here in LA.
Yeah, but you got to be able to navigate and find out who's real and who ain't real.
I feel like I may just one day like blow off someone who's of importance just because I'm so used to the bullshit. Yeah. It's like, do you know who that is?
I didn't know that was George Lucas. I didn't know what he looked like. I just thought some old dude. I just missed out on a part of my life.
Exactly. So, but I'm pretty good with, you know, figuring out who's bullshit and who's legit.
Here's the thing. This is home for you. My home is in Texas, although I've been out here for 12 years. I dig the SoCal weather. And I dig L.A. for what it is, because it's able to facilitate business. You're here, and because you're a Cali girl, you live in town, so we're able to talk in person. But for me, you know, I'm like, I love the weather, but I'm kind of like done with L.A. to a degree just because of the traffic. And I don't have to deal with the people because I just do my own thing with my reality shows. So that's not really a factor for me, but I kind of miss Texas. You're from here.
Mm-hmm.
So this is home.
Yes.
And so, you know, and it's weird because when we fly back now from Texas, I'm like, you know, we left the ranch. It's my favorite place in the world, but this right now is home. I'm looking at an exit strategy for you. There really is no exit strategy because this is home and you're at home.
Exactly.
And that's a good thing, I think, because, like, I'm ready to get out, but I still got business to take care of that
of
I can't
course.
Take care of in San Antonio.
Yeah. You know, the thing I will say, though, I hate, and no disrespect to you, because I know you're a transplanter, but, I mean, because you're awesome. No, you're awesome and you're a kick-ass person, but people who do usually move here are the ones who give L.A. a bad name.
I agree with you 100%.
It's not the true Californians, because we know what it is, so we're not about the bull. So you get people here and it's like, stop fronting, please.
Right.
Like, be you.
Right.
Just be who you are. You don't have to put on a front. You don't have to act.
Yeah, I agree with you, because, man, it's a lot of the people that I've met out here they're so full of shit or whatever. It's
Gosh.
Like, they're all, like I said, transplants. I never heard put like that, but you're right. Most of the people that are there's some hippies here, but I'm talking about,
yeah.
they're real.
Exactly.
Yeah. When there's other people come in and it's like, so people think California's full of crazy people. Yeah, there's a fair share of them out here, but they come from other places.
Exactly. So it's actually rare to even meet anybody in California. Like, I mean, all my friends, though, from like high school and stuff are from here. But me, like, out and about, I don't.
Are they still out in the valley? Or do you, like, my wife has friends that from 30 plus years ago. Do you have a whole bunch of friends from high school? Like, I'm kind of a loner. All my friends hate me. I mean, they love me, but they hate me because I rarely return phone calls. I'm bad at texting back. I'm bad at returning emails. Do you have a lot of your friends that you grew up with that you're still close with because you spent 5-6 years on the road with WWE and you were gone?
Yeah, all my friends are still from high school and college, which is kind of almost like an amazing thing, but bad thing, because I am kind of I don't want to say an antisocial, but it's very hard for me to let people in. So it's like, and to trust people, because it's a cruel world. And, you know, things I've experienced in girls and stuff, it's just kind of like, who'll stab you in the back? I would kind of say a little antisocial-ish a little bit when it comes to meeting, like, new people.
Hey, what about the locker room over there with respect to Ooh. Male talent and female talent that you were traveling up and down the road with, and all of a sudden you get the word you've been released, a.k.a. fired? Did you get an outpouring of texts? Did your girls call you and say, hey, man, we heard the news, we're sorry? Or do you keep in touch with them? Were you close with any of the talent?
You know what? And that's probably one of the reasons why I'm kind of like an outcaster a little bit, because I just always used to kind of like stay to myself, just because I don't like, it's just so weird for me to see someone be like, that's my best friend. And it's like, oh, stupid bitch. And saying all like airing all their dirty laundry. I'm just like, wait, that. So for me, it's like, to see that, I'm like, ooh, like but Trin and Eva are, you know, the girls that I were like really close and still really good friends with.
Right.
Those are like my girls. But I did get, there's a few people who I didn't hear from, which one in particular, I actually expected, they actually wanted me to get fired and stated it. So they were probably, it was like Christmas Day for them. They're like, yes, that bitch is fired. I know that sounds horrible. And
right.
I mean, to like wish someone's job is gone, it's like, that's an evil person that says what their character is. But, you know, there was one person in particular I was a little disappointed. Like, I never heard anything from them but, you know, it is what it is.
Well, you know, and you know, on that note, you know, I had a ton of friends backstage when I was around, but when I had to ride off in the sunset, you know, and this is not in the modern technology, guys, but we had cell phones, for God's sake. It wasn't like I got, you know, a million text messages, hey, man, sorry about your neck, we'll catch you down the road, nothing like that. So it's a very competitive business.
Yeah.
It'd be like, you know, a guy or gal in the ring, and all of a sudden, you know, they might be ahead of you on the ladder. And maybe main event, and all of a sudden, you know, they go down, or I would go down, and well, hey, man, that's just an opportunity for the next guy.
Yeah.
Same thing. It's just a very competitive industry. God dang, what was I going to ask you? I just had on the tip of my tongue. Oh, what would you say would be your most proudest moment of your WWE career?
That's difficult. I mean,
was it just more, rather than what you accomplished, what you did for yourself, as far as coming from being a total rookie to the business and picking up everything that you did and having the career that you did, when, you know, if you looked at it from just purely a wrestling standpoint, to be the first person eliminated from Tough Enough, but yet to be, shoot, the only person to have a career?
Yeah.
A 5-year run?
First one gone and the last one standing. Well, not anymore.
No, but nonetheless,
at the time was the last one standing.
You got to be proud of the fact that you had a run.
Yeah, of course. No, I mean, I wouldn't take that away. I didn't go into, WWE wanting to dance, but I mean, I was damn happy to have had an opportunity because it did open the door, to get in the ring. So,
man,
what's that face?
I tell you what, man, when you and Naomi did that with Brodus Clay and the Funkadactyl song, that was the best entrance in pro wrestling. Have you always been able to dance?
I'm not going to lie. I was shitting bricks. I literally had got a call from Kathy. I was like, and I was out partying. I was like, did I accidentally call her or butt dial her? And I was like, okay. They were first like, you're going to do announcing. You're going to replace Brandy. Then they were like, I was like, wait, then like, you're going to dance. I was like, okay, regardless if I wrestle or if I dance or am an announcer, I'm going to hit the bed because I don't know how to do any of those. So I literally was like, hey, you know what? Fake it till you make it.
Never let them see you sweat.
Exactly. So it's like, you know what? Just go out there. You're either going to sink or swim in it. And in WWE, it is a sink or swim type of business. It's like you just have to go out there and put your best foot forward and just do the best that you possibly can. And that's what I did.
So all of a sudden you get the call and you're going to be one of the Funkadactyl dancers. How'd you handle that? Hey, man, well, I came here to wrestle, not dance.
Well, I mean, like I said, I didn't know what I was doing. No one could tell me. At first, I'm like, there's like, oh, you're going to maybe be dancing with Brodus. But then I have someone else telling me like, oh, you're going to be announcing. So I'm just like, what?
Right.
I mean, it's something that I didn't come in to do, but it was an amazing opportunity. And I feel like I was very blessed because it's like, just because you may not start doing something that you want doesn't mean you won't eventually get to your ultimate goal. And I feel like it was just a door. It was baby steps. And I'm kind of happy it did happen because if I had to go out there and wrestle, that would have been even worse. Like, I feel like that would have been like, oh my God, that would have been the struggle is real. Because the struggle was already real, and that would have just made it even more real.
So you got into the business, and your goal was to go as far as you did. You get a call from Mark Carano, and now you've been released from WWE. My goal back in the day, when I was a kid, I always wanted to be a pro wrestler because, that's just – I grew up watching since I was 7 years old.
Yeah.
And then, after that, I didn't know really what I was going to do, and I was sitting there thinking, man, what's going to replace the adrenaline rush, the testosterone, the craziness of the crowd, hanging out with the guys on the road, drinking whiskey in the lounge, and just that lifestyle. And then I ended up, where I ended up, and I'm having a blast now with my podcast, my reality shows, and all the stuff that I do now. So now, going on to this, turning this next page, how excited, what's your mindset? Because for a male to get let go from the business, it took a guy named Paul Orndorff to let me know that, Steve, there is life after wrestling. You obviously know that, but do you think what you're pursuing now, just guessing because you haven't realized it yet, will be as fulfilling to you, or will fill the gap or the void that the WWE can no longer fill for you? That crowd, that fun, that adrenaline, the lifestyle.
I look at it as what am I trying to say? Like
transition or a cycle ending?
I feel like nothing will ever be able to fill that void because that's just a completely different world. I feel like it's one of those type of things that I will have to always just say those were some amazing memories, but there'll never be anything that's like the WWE, the fans, like they, just the way they make you feel and how loyal they are and just the type of business it is. It's a sports entertainment. There will never be anything like
that. You're right about that. You hit it right on the head.
You know what I mean? But it doesn't mean that, the next chapter that I move to
is going to suck.
You get what I'm saying? It's just, that was something that's amazing. Now it's time to do something else that's amazing and just have that as like, it was an amazing memory. Now time to make even more memories and now keep adding on to the next chapter of my book.
So with this cycle ending for now, maybe it'll pick up again. But so how driven or motivated are you to find success in this next endeavor?
Oh, I am beyond driven. That's just always been me. Like, look where I got to with WWE with having no, experience and no background. Like, for me, and I like to say this too, like when I used to get so much hate, everyone's journey is different and how they get into the business. Some people, have wanted it their whole lives and never can achieve it, or how everyone's journey is different. But I feel like it's what you do with the journey once you're given it and how you take it, and just take it and just run with it and put your heart, soul, your blood, your sweat and your tears in it. You know what I mean? I got passionate about that, but then I forgot what I was going to say. Wait, what'd you?
No, it was just you trying to achieve your next goal or to, you know, be successful in another endeavor.
I feel like I definitely will. Like, I am such a driven person, and to me, no or getting or saying I can't do something just makes me push even harder. So I definitely know that the next chapter will be successful, and I'll just, you know, keep adding on to the, you know, chapters in my book.
And, you know, like you touched across a point there where, you know, maybe you weren't like a crazy wrestling fan when you got into the business. I know there's a bunch of cats down there at the NXT or some of the people, some of the guys in the locker room who are just like real hard heads about, oh, no, you got to be passionate about the business. You got to love the business to be successful. Hey, man, the fact of the matter is not everybody is. The fact of the matter is, you know, a lot of these guys and gals that they're recruiting these days are just so these athletic backgrounds, the business is a means to an end. The business is a job. The fact that I loved it doesn't make me, you know, it just means that it was a passion of mine. But if you're in it just to make a living, hey, study your ass off, learn the history of the business. It's not a strike against you.
Yeah.
Just because you come from a different background and all of a sudden you get an opportunity doesn't mean that you're a bad person. Oh, they don't love the business like I do. Piss on that. It's all about what you make of the opportunity, not whether you grew up being a lifelong fan of the damn business.
Yeah, I just feel like it's what you, yeah, if it's like if you just are there for the wrong reasons, then I can feel like you, wait.
Well, but what is the wrong reasons? If you're there just to get paid, I mean, and you put your heart and soul into it, you're still good because you got bills to pay.
I mean, I guess that's true, but then it's like, why do something that you don't love doing?
Yeah, just because people want a shot at the being on TV and the glory. And
I would have never been able to do it if I didn't become to love it, because it's so much that goes into it. I just feel like if you don't love this, it's like it will be a miserable job for you.
But you didn't love it when you started.
Not when I started, no, right. But I grew to love it.
Hey, speaking of, we got a real philosophical there for a second. So tell me about this acting class. You fix to go over there, and are you going to do your scene study in your car before you go in there and do your homework?
Yes, because this week has been so crazy. I haven't even had time to look over my script. So I'm going to have to, like, you know.
You know you got to hammer that, because here's the thing. You know how competitive this town is. You
live
here, and you come from the entertainment business from WWE. But, you know, when you go to a restaurant, damn near everybody waiting tables is trying to get a crack at the acting gig. And I feel like you could potentially have an advantage because of your vast television exposure over the last 5 years to give you maybe, you know, a little bit of a boost. But as you know, man, if you don't put the work in, you're going to come upon hard times or get a lot of doors.
Oh, wait, don't take it the wrong way. I do what I mean. I bust my ass and I bust my butt.
With the dark side, we're good.
With studying, but this week has just been so, like, crazy with meetings and stuff that it's like literally I haven't even had a time to pick up. And to me, coming here today was like very important. I wanted to talk to you. I've been wanting to be on your podcast for like 3 years now.
We finally did it.
I know, we finally did it.
Hey, is there anything that we didn't cover that you want to cover or address?
You know, I would actually, are you going to ask me what my favorite match is now?
Yeah. All right. What's your favorite match of all time?
So I don't have just one.
Okay, that's cool.
I have a few. And it's so funny when you actually spoke about it earlier with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat against Randy Savage Macho Man WrestleMania 3. That was a pretty damn good defining moment. I really like that match. That's one of my favorites. I also have, I would definitely say, well, I guess if it takes me this long to think about it, right? Well, because there's a few that I like. I definitely think it was a pretty kick-ass moment when you guys had, with you and Bret Hart, were at the submission match. That was a good match. Was that WrestleMania 13?
WrestleMania 13 in Chicago, my favorite town to wrestle in.
Yeah, where you passed out all that blood.
You see the acting chops here, Ari? Why I'm not in a damn Oscar-nominated movie right now? Well, I'll tell you why I don't want to act. What else?
Let me think, because I have a few. But I would definitely say, I think, I want to say Ricky the Dragon Steamboat first. I would say that's like the number one.
And that's an outstanding selection. I'm finally, I can say that and not have to hold my hands up and like,
wait,
Who?
Who? Melina Versalicia Fox.
Hey, do you miss being on the road yet?
No, not yet.
You because... know, you're gonna have a little bit of withdrawals, I think. Well, I don't know. If you're a pretty strong-minded, strong-willed person, so maybe you, and you're so busy and you keep yourself occupied, you might not miss a thing.
Well, for me, it's like I've been enjoying the time home because it's like now I'm able to go to like a friend's wedding and catch up with friends and spend time with family. Like I feel like, especially like right now with my brother, he's going through so much. I'm able to be here and kind of like be like a mentor towards him, you know, to kind of get him back on the right track. So, I'm actually happy to be home, but I feel like, I mean, at some point I'll probably be like, but things have been so crazy lately. I haven't had time really to like think about it.
That's cool. Cause I always consider like my time, like when I was on the road, man, I call it zombie mode. Cause I like you realize everything that's going on in life, but I mean, your number one mission is just to get on the road, go to the towns, make the towns, come back home for a day and a half. And then you miss the road. So you get back on it. And all of a sudden 15 years flies by. Like we talked in the beginning before we start rolling sound, 5 years flies by. And it's like, man, what happened? What just happened?
Yeah.
So it took me a while to turn back into a civilian, but then again, you know, I didn't have that next thing to go ahead and jump into, which you already had first into the acting thing and everything else that you're doing. On Twitter, you are at WWE Cameron.
Yes, which I know.
Will that stay that way?
I will definitely have to change that. I haven't yet. But I know.
Well, I was talking to Hornswoggle. He said there's been no pressure to change it. Didn't Mark Carano say, hey, you got to change your Twitter handle?
No, yeah. Not at all.
And mm-hmm. You do have your real name up there to begin with.
Exactly. Well. Yeah.
And then your website is
www.arianandrewnow.com.
And Instagram?
It is arianandrew. Yes. Okay. And Periscope. And I'm just kidding.
Okay, we talked about your favorite match. You had a good one.
Wait, and I didn't elaborate on that. The reason why I really enjoyed that, because even though Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan had that,
championship match.
I can't even talk. And they were the main event. Those two were able to steal the show. And it was like, and they were mid-carders. You know what I mean? So it was like a mid-carder was able to be like, you know what? We're just as good as the main event.
Here's the thing. I got an email from someone. It was a hateful email, as we were talking about earlier on Twitter with all the people hiding behind eggshells and saying bad things. I got this one dude sent an email, and I always talk about that being one of my favorite matches. And it said, oh, Steve, Hogan and Andre were the main event there at WrestleMania 3, but you never, ever give Hogan credit enough because you think you're a bigger star than him, and he was a bigger star than you, and he goes, all this rhetoric is like, no, you stupid idiot. The best friggin' match on the show was Savage Steamboat. Hogan and Andre probably drew the house. Savage and Steamboat certainly had something to do with it too. But yeah, they were the main event. But to your point, yeah, Savage and Steamboat stole the show. It was never me trying to take any credit from Hogan. He had a wonderful run, and I've always given him his due props and respect. And him and Andre, yeah, that's money. So F you piece of trash. I had a lot of respect for damn Hogan, but it was Savage and Steamboat's night.
Yeah, no, I could see you definitely got very passionate about that.
Yeah, I'm glad because I want to answer that idiot's email. He sent it in a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, I got all respect in the world for Hogan's run. End of story. Next. What do you want to talk about before we shut this thing down?
I feel like I've talked your ear off today.
You have, and I've enjoyed it.
Yes.
And I'm glad we finally got to hook up and talk.
I know. It's been, I mean, and I was actually really excited because I haven't talked to anybody. I haven't done any interviews or anything. And I was like, you know what? Let me reach out to Steve and see, like, if, you know, maybe he'll let me do his podcast. I feel like it would be just so iconic because I started my career with you. And I'm ending my, well, I don't want to say ending my career, but
we're pausing it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I get to, like, you know, discuss it with you. It's kind of like the what's the word I'm looking for? The irony of it all.
And also is like people always say to me, yeah, Steve, she was first one eliminated, but she's the only one who had a career. And I'm like, dude, I always said she'd have a career. And what also people never knew is every time we saw each other at the show, we'd sit there for 15, 20, 30 minutes, whatever, relive the old times or talk about current times. And we actually had a relationship as friends. So, yeah, so all this time later, there was never any animosity. We laugh and joke about all the things in the past and always talk about everything in the present day. So for the people that didn't know that, that's how it went down between us.
Exactly.
Wasn't like there was any animosity or hard feelings. People are so damn presumptuous sometimes. It really chaps my ass.
I know.
So you're going to jump out in L.A. traffic. I hate L.A. traffic. Do you just chill in your car? Hey, now, you got to answer me this. The other day we was coming back from somewhere, and everyone on the road was texting in their car. You're not one of them texting drivers, are you?
Okay, I'm a person that's very honest, and I don't like to lie.
Except that one time.
I like to keep it 100. I do sometimes. I know it's against the law, and I know it's bad. And it's very dangerous because someone actually just a few months ago rear-ended me saying, "Oh, I was trying to pick my phone off the floor." I'm like, "You couldn't wait till you to stop. Pull over or stop." That's why you just rear-ended the back of my car.
Yeah, well, see, the thing about it is, if you pull up at a stop sign, if you pull up at a stoplight and it's in red, then I think it's okay to text. But when the light turns green, then you got to go back driving.
Yeah.
That's just my thought. So as you go out there, I'm concerned for your safety. Don't text and watch out for the other idiots out there that are texting.
I am not going to text. I'm actually going to, relax and listen to music. That's how I like my way of kind of like my zen. I actually don't enjoy traffic, but I like driving because it just kind of clears my mind. And
I love driving too. You listen to music while you drive?
Mm-hmm.
What are you listening to right now?
I like Pandora because it has like a mixture.
All I do is Pandora.
Yeah. Because I
pay for it so I don't get the commercials.
I had paid for it, then the commercial started coming back. I don't know what happened.
It's just because your thing, you didn't renew it.
Ooh.
I got that little thing in the mail. I'll pay $2.99 or whatever it costs just so I can listen to commercials.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite Pandora? What's your presets?
I have trap music radio. I have Tiesto. I have I like to go between those two. Tiesto, because then I get my like house music that I like and like different genres of music that come through that.
Right.
Then I have like my little more of the crump music, and then I get different. But sometimes like music that doesn't fall under that genre will come through. So like that's why I like those two stations.
I'm still trapped in the 80s and 90s. I'm old school.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to get you to acting class. It was wonderful seeing you and wonderful talking to you.
Yes, it's been amazing. I'm so happy we finally got to like do a full sit-down catch-up.
All right, this is Steve Austin. I'm hanging up. Ariane Andrew has to ride off into the sunset in her red Mercedes. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you.
Thank you for joining us for another classic episode of The Steve Austin Show. Please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and tell your friends. For more Steve Austin Show, go to podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
All month long, the biggest movies are streaming free on Pluto TV's Popcorn Summer Movies. Watch star-studded blockbusters like Titanic and Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. Or fall in love with charming rom-coms like Hitch and How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. The best part? Pluto TV is 100% free. No credit cards, not even a sign-up. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla. Let me tell you about my podcast. We do it every single day, so you can subscribe and there'll always be a fresh one waiting for you. It's about 2 hours of topical topics and news and guests and comedians and, of course, my own vitriolic take on just about everything that's going on in the world. Plus, we get a lot of really interesting, notable people who come in. We'll get politicians, we'll get tastemakers, we'll get stand-ups, we'll get authors, we'll get pundits, we'll get, I think about covers it all, celebrities as well, and we'll do some really interesting interviews with them. You can get The Adam Carolla Show wherever you download your podcasts.